Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 9. Proverbs 21 and verse 9. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, your word shows us how important this subject is. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit, who inspired this text, who breathed it out, would illuminate it to our minds and our hearts, and we would be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Help me in preaching, and help your beloved people in listening, and may you receive all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think many of you know. If you don't know, the way I have been doing Proverbs ever since we got to chapter 10 is I either pick a verse or a couple verses in each section, do that twice. So in chapter 20, two verses, and then go to 21. So as I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do for chapter 21, as I read through and try to figure out what would be a good verse to do to start. Obviously, I'll preach again, chapter 21, Lord willing, next Sabbath. But I was struck with verse 9. The reason I was struck with it is because if you look in your Bibles or listen, verse 19 of the same chapter says, "Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." So it struck me that twice in the same chapter, God says almost the exact same thing. That really struck me that God didn't say anything purposeless, without purpose or without point. And for God to say the same thing that closely, I know the chapter divisions are not in the original, but they would have been close when you're reading through the Proverbs, they would have been close that in the same section as we have in our Bible, chapter 21, God says almost the exact same thing. And therefore, God must be serious about this. For him to say it twice, we'll see it's actually said in other times in the Proverbs as well, which I'll show you, different ways. But God is so serious and so adamant of women and men getting the point of the dangers of a contentious woman. God cares about it, so therefore, if you name the name of Christ, you must care about it, especially as a woman, but also as a man. And so that's why this text struck me, and that's why I'm preaching on it. Because I was gripped when I was looking through, God says it twice in the same chapter. Slightly different, but he warns about the dangers of the contentious woman. And you know what? Maybe you don't know this as much because we're in such a, by God's grace, a good, healthy church. And I don't say that to toot our own horn, but because God has really blessed us. And we're thankful for that. He showed us things from his word. But out in the culture and even out in the church culture world, to call out women's sins is taboo. It is. To call out women's sins is taboo. You want to start getting people upset with you. Start talking specifically about women and their sins, and you're asking for a fight. You are. You are. Because to talk about women's sins is always the man's fault. It's always someone else's fault. It's never my fault. I'm the victim. And sadly, that has crept in even to the cult or to the church culture, that to call out women for their sins of nagging their husbands, being immodest, not being gentle and of a quiet spirit, not submitting to their husbands. If you preach that in a general evangelical church, you're going to get people who are not pleased with you. That's the reality. That's the reality. But God wants all the women here that I'm commanded to shepherd to know what it means to be a biblical woman. And I wouldn't be doing good to your soul if I did not take texts like this and expound them and apply them. I know recently I actually preached a sermon similar to this when I preached, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." I was telling my mom about that sermon, sent her, she listened to it, and she was telling me how much she enjoyed it, and we were having a great conversation. It was wonderful. I love that. I was able to talk about my mom with that sermon. She enjoyed it so much. It was great to be able to talk to my mom about those things. But these things are important. These things are important. And God shows us the value of them. by putting them in sacred scripture. And so, do men need to be called out for their sins? Yes. But do women need to be called out for their sins or encouraged in godliness? Yes. Sometimes it's put as a joke on sometimes people during what's called Father's Day or Mother's Day, they'll preach a sermon to the fathers of how terrible they are, how they need to get in order, and mothers of how fantastic they are. That just shows you. That just shows you the culture. And mothers are great. I love my mother. I'm all for mothers, so I'm not putting women down. But it's interesting, that dynamic. You talk to men and you just exhort them of how terrible they're doing, how they need to get better. Men receive it like, oh yeah. But it can be fighting words when you do that to women. The point I'm making is this, is God has given us his word so that we know what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman for his glory. And this text shows us those realities. Those texts show us those realities. I so enjoyed sharing this text with my fiance. It was great. We had a great discussion about it. It was wonderful. And so I'm excited to share it with you because it's such an important text. It really is. And God values you knowing it. Because he loves you as women, and he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed. So may God, the Spirit of God, who inspired this text, give us illumination to understand it and apply it. The main point of this sermon is a contentious woman, and why it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with her. A contentious woman, and why it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with her. My first point, a contentious woman. A contentious woman. My second point is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a contentious woman. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a contentious woman. So again, my first point, a contentious woman. We see here, and I already showed you verse 19, that it uses similar language. Here, verse 9, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop. Verse 19, better to be in the wilderness than to dwell with this type of woman. In 19, it adds angry woman, a contentious and angry woman. Or I might say angry and contentious. No, contentious and angry woman. If you turn with me to Proverbs 25, Proverbs 25 and verse 24. Proverbs 25 and verse 24. 25 and verse 24. It says there, it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman, which basically says the exact same thing. God repeats himself. Why? Because it's important. 21, he says it twice. 25, he says it again. If you turn to, I should have went to this one first, but if you turn back to 19, chapter 13, chapter 19, verse 13, chapter 19 and verse 13. So we've seen in 21:9, 21:19, we've seen in 25:24, 19:13, we see this, Proverbs. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. It's there again. The contentions of a wife are like a continual dripping. Or 27 in verse 15 and 16, Proverbs 27, 15 and 16. I'm trying to convince you that this is important. As God repeats himself, and God doesn't repeat himself for no reason. He repeats himself purposely because he's trying to make a point. Proverbs 27, 15 and 16. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. So hopefully you're convinced that this is important. Throughout the Proverbs, God is saying this truth. The dangers of a contentious woman. And how terrible it is to live with a contentious woman. Because God is showing us these realities. And so, again, we see the language, a contentious woman. We have to then ask, what does it mean to be contentious? The 1828 Webster's Dictionary, which I love to consult. You get it free online if you ever want to. The 1828, you can save it as a bookmark and you can look. And it's really good because it's shaped by many Christian principles. So it's a very helpful dictionary, the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. So that's a passing comment. But if you want a good dictionary, I recommend the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And how they define it, at least at the beginning, contentious means, quote, apt to contend, given to angry debate, quarrelsome, perverse, end quote. So we see a woman that is contentious. She's apt or desirous to contend. She's given to angry debate. She's quarrelsome and perverse. When I was talking to Liz about this, she made a very good observation that was very helpful for me. I'm glad I shared this sermon with her because she made a really good observation. She said also to be contentious, a woman is passive aggressive. Passive aggressive. That, because sometimes being contentious isn't the overt things. Overtly yelling at your husband. Overtly cursing at him. Overtly hitting him. But being passive aggressive in your behavior or your speaking or your actions. So a contentious woman is a woman who is committed to or is passive aggressive, given angry debate, quarrelsome, apt to contend, perverse. That is what a contentious woman is. She's the opposite. She's the exact opposite of a woman who has a gentle and quiet spirit and who is submissive to her husband. She is given a nagging, discontentment, bitterness if she doesn't get her way. This is the type of woman that is described here, a contentious woman. She is, instead of seeking honor, humility, and deference, she instead is seeking disrespect, pride, and insisting on her own way. She is a stubborn and rebellious woman. She is contentious, whether overtly or passive-aggressively. And by doing that, she is a troublesome and harmful woman to her husband. She is a nuisance, not a blessing. She does more harm than good, and she even terrorizes her own husband. And because men, one of the key ways men feel loved, the women probably already know this, but just so you know, the way men feel loved, one of the key ways is by being respected. That is one of the key ways. That's why the Bible says wives should live with their husbands with respect. Nevertheless, let each man see that he loves his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ephesians 5, verse 33. See that she respects her husband. And so why it's so difficult for a man to live with a contentious woman is because by her words and by her behavior and by being passive aggressive, she continually speaks disrespect to her husband. And men, if you want men to be irritated, there's nothing better for a woman. If a woman wanted to take a class and say, how can I terrorize my husband? One of the first things on that list would be disrespectful. Disrespectful. That would probably be at least one or two. And I think all the men here could say amen. That would be up there. For a wife to be disrespectful to her husband is at close to the top. And a contentious woman is a key thing that makes her a burden for her husband is her disrespectful and passive-aggressive behavior. And so we see these realities. This is what God is warning. This is what God is warning. And a contentious woman is marked by earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom. I'll prove that to you from the Word of God. Everybody turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Earthly, sensual, and demonic are contentious women. I'll show you that from the Word of God. James chapter 3, starting at verse 13. James 3, starting at verse 13. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is why I'm saying this. We could define a contentious woman as she has bitter envy. She's self-seeking. She brings confusion in every evil thing. And God says that type of person, their wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's what the Bible says. We could summarize what God calls earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom is a mark is a key mark of a contentious woman. She's bitter in her envy. She doesn't seek the good of her husband. She's self-seeking. She creates confusion because the husband, as she's being passive-aggressive, he doesn't know what he did because she's not maybe being overt, but she's being passive-aggressive, which is causing confusion in the man's mind. What is going on? What did I do? And every evil thing are there. That's the type of woman. And therefore, I say a contentious woman, her wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's what the Bible says. That's what it says. And I don't know about you, but if something is described as earthly, sensual, and demonic, I don't want it. I don't want it. And I don't want to encourage it. And that's what it's described. Earthly, sensual, and demonic. But then it contrasts that with the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom from heaven, which we could say is the opposite of a contentious woman, right? Because what? First, she is pure. Second, she's peaceable. She's a peacemaker. She doesn't want to contend or be disrespectful to her husband. She's a peacemaker. She wants peace. She wants to be a place and a person of peace to her husband. She's a woman who's gentle. She's not disrespectful. She has a gentle and quiet spirit. She's a woman that is marked by a gentle reverence and respect to her husband. She's a woman who is willing to yield. She's a submissive woman because she's willing to yield. She's willing to follow the leadership of her husband. She's full of mercy. She doesn't pay back her husband. She's merciful to her husband. She has good fruits because she's marked by good fruits that are produced by the Holy Spirit. She doesn't show partiality and she doesn't have hypocrisy. That type of woman is the opposite of being contentious. A contentious woman, bitter envy, self-seeking. She is bringing confusion in every evil thing. A wise, godly woman is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It would be good for you, just to bring some application, for you to pray through verse 17 and 18 and say, Father, make these things true of me. Help me. Help me to be pure. I want to be more pure. As a man or a woman, I want to be more pure. Help me to be more of a peacemaker. Help me show peace with my brothers and sisters, with my wife or my husband or my children. Help me be peaceable. Help me be gentle towards others, whether a man or a woman, because one of the best characteristics of a man is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He knows how to have his strength under control, and it's a beautiful thing. It's very precious in the sight of God when a woman is of a gentle and quiet spirit. Pray that you would be willing to yield, especially to your husband as you are seeking honor, respect, and submit to his authority. Pray that you'll be full of mercy, that you would not seek to repay evil for evil, but you would seek to overcome evil with good. You would be marked by good fruits. And you would be not showing partiality, you would not be showing hypocrisy. That would be some productive praying. It would be. Think about it. If you spent 5 to 7 to 10 minutes praying over those things sincerely, what a blessing that would be to your soul and to the other people that you're around. Just praying over that list. What a blessed list to want. And what a wonderful person you would be to be around. If that marks you, that you're pure, peaceable. If you're gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. What a blessed person to spend time with. But if you're someone who has bitter envy, self-seeking, who brings confusion in every evil thing, it's not fun to be around that type of person. It's not enjoyable. It's not refreshing. And so we see the contrast here. We see the contrast here. Women who are contentious are truly a thorn in a man's side. And not like the Proverbs 31 woman. We could say the woman who's contentious does her husband evil and not good all the days of her life. She does her husband evil and not good all the days of her life. You know the text actually says the Proverbs 31 does him good and not evil. But a contentious woman is the opposite. She does her husband evil and not good all the days of her life. She is a woman that because of her disrespect, her passive aggressive, her rudeness, her unwillingness to yield, her desire to be self-seeking and to bring confusion, she does her husband evil and not good all the days of her life. God is warning against this. God is warning against this. A contentious and angry woman first is not submitting to God. Because when a woman is not submitting to her husband, you know what she's ultimately saying is, I don't want to submit to Christ. That's what she's saying. I could care less about what Jesus says, because when a woman doesn't submit to her husband, she's saying, I don't care what Jesus says. Because when a wife submits to her husband, she's ultimately submitting unto the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. So when she says, I'm willing to yield to my husband, even if maybe I disagree, but he's not telling me to do sin. So a wife is not to submit to her husband in sin. That should be clear, but just to make sure that's clear. A wife should never submit to her husband in sin. But even if she might do something a different way, a woman who is willing to submit to her husband, even if she might have a different view, is ultimately submitting to Christ. Because she's saying at that moment, I trust you, Jesus, and I know you've given this man. I know that you have set up a hierarchy, and therefore I'm under my husband. He is my patriarch, and I trust you that you have set him up, and I'm going to submit to him, trusting you. That's what it is. So when women submit to their husbands, truly what they're saying is, I submit to Christ. I submit to Christ. But when a woman doesn't, she's ultimately not submitting to God in Christ. When a woman is contentious and angry, and then she's not submitting to her husband, but instead seeking her own ways and own will apart from God's design and order. Frank Sinatra, not recommending Frank Sinatra, but I love that he gives a really short definition of sin. Really good. I did it my way. That's what sin is. I did it my way. And so that's what sin is, and that's what a contentious woman is. She's not wanting to do it God's way, her husband's way. She is doing it her way. And in Proverbs 7, it describes the adulterous woman, that she's dressed in the attire of a harlot. She's loud and rebellious, and her feet do not stay at home. This is the way God describes the adulterous woman. Loud and rebellious, or contentious. Contentious and angry. And so God warns, particularly men here, but it's also an encouragement to women not to be like this, of the dangers of a contentious woman. Let me just say this. I know at this church I pastor that we have wonderful women, and I'm preaching to the choir with these things. I know that. I know who I'm preaching to. But ladies, you need encouragement more and more to continue to press on in these things. So I'm not preaching this because I think we have terrible women that are just angry, contentious women and making their husbands' lives miserable. But at the same time, I want you to know these things so that you can increase more and more. So you can be more of a blessing to your husband. So you can be a better gift to him from God. So that you can be more faithful, more loving, more kind, and more of doing him good and not evil all the days of your life. Because this is what God desires for women. To not be contentious, because God warns men about the dangers of a contentious woman. Danger. Danger. Danger is what God is saying. And so a contentious woman is one who is apt to contend, a woman who's given angry debate, she's quarrelsome, she's perverse, and she's passive aggressive. But some of you might be convicted right now saying, I can relate to doing some of these things to my husband that are sinful. Well, the beauty in Christ is you can repent, you can change, you can turn. That's part of the Word of God too, for us to feel convicted where we need to feel convicted and change. And change. And in Christ, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And for the child of God, they're never stuck. They're never in a situation where this is just who I am, I can't change it. That's never true for a child of God. Because if you're in Christ, you're a new creation, and therefore you've been risen in the newness of life, and therefore you're never stuck in sin. No matter how many patterns, no matter what you saw growing up, no matter what you saw here or there, you always have the ability by the grace of God to change if you're indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. And so God warns about the dangers of a contentious woman, the dangers. And then in my second point, we see how explicit he really brings that point home. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a contentious woman is my second point. So I think as you can see now, it should be pretty obvious why God says this. If this is what a contentious woman is, if she has earthly, sensual, and demonic, quote unquote, wisdom, hopefully you can tell by now why God says that it would be better to dwell in the corner of a housetop or in the wilderness than to dwell with this type of woman. Because this woman is just like the continual dripping on a rainy day. We probably notice this more if you have a faucet and it's not quite working. And it's just drip, 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 drip. And that's where also the passive aggressive comes, that point as well. Because passive aggressive can be, it's not overt, but it's that slight irritation of disrespect. And that's what a contentious woman does. It's that, and it builds up. Because instead of respecting her husband, she gives little jabs, not overt, but little jabs that are like the dripping of a faucet. And over time, they build up. And the man feels like it'd be better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with this type of woman. And if he's a godly man, his heart should be just like Christ. I'm going to seek to forgive and show grace and show mercy. That should be his desire. But that man can feel it would be better to live in the wilderness than in this type of situation. Because that's what the Bible says. Better to be in the corner of a housetop. Better to be in the wilderness than with this type of woman. Better to have just a little spot, maybe enough for a small bed or a sleeping bag, than to live with a woman who is disrespectful and unsubmissive. So if it's true that this is the reality, the reason is because a woman who's contentious makes her house a place of misery, not joy. Sorrow, not peace. Discouragement instead of encouragement. It will be a place that a man will not want to go. When he's driving home from work, if he has a woman like this, he'll be, oh no. Oh no. Because he's grieved knowing that right when he walks in, nagging, disrespect, and self-seeking. What a sad reality for a woman to be like this. And I'm sure that many women, or many men in our culture, sadly but truly live with women like this. Live with women like this. That they terrorize because of their disrespect to their husband. And because they've been taught by feminism that actually to be a woman is to be independent, doing your own thing, seeking your own way, and not under the dictator of a husband, quote unquote. And therefore they think to truly be what the Bible says is slavery instead of freedom. Because actually to do it God's way is freedom. To do it the world's way is truly the way of slavery. You know why? Because the world basically says, women, for you to really be valuable, you have to be like a man. Right. To really be valuable, you have to think, act, speak, and do like a man. And if you're not, you're really not valuable. You know what? That's a burden that God does not want on women. And that's actually slavery. When women to really be successful, to truly make it, they have to be like men. What you're doing is putting a burden on women that is crushing to them. Crushing. God has never made women to be men. Women are to rejoice in being feminine women. They should not be encouraged to be like men. I mean, we live in a culture where we send our women to go out to fight our battles. This is terrible. This is a shameful thing that we live in a culture that we're saying, women, go fight. Go to war for us. This is evil. This is wrong. We have women police officers. Women are meant to be protected, not protectors. Women are called to be protected by men, not protect them. But we live in a culture where women have been taught and indoctrinated, one key way through the government school system, that the really what you need to truly be a woman is to be like a man. And God says, that's a lie. And God says, for a man to live with a woman that has been indoctrinated in that thinking and lives by it, it would be better for him to live in the corner of a housetop or in the wilderness. But this is the culture we live in. And this is why the church, more and more, there's going to have to be men and women who are going to have to stand up and say, God has made us male and female, and that means something. Because we live in a culture that despises male and female roles and duties because of how God made us. And so therefore, we have a world filled with contentious women. Contentious women. Women that are seeking their own ways. But let me put it positively, because this sermon obviously has a very negative tone to it because of the text. The text is put in a negative way. But the positive is for Christian women, and the ladies of our church, the Christian women, the members, the thing about it is you have such a great opportunity. Let me encourage you. You have such a great opportunity, because if this is what our culture is, and it is, for you to be distinctly feminine, and respectful and obedient and submissive to your husband and a blessing to him, that speaks wonders. To have a good marriage where you genuinely love and care for your husband, that speaks wonders. It is a way to let your light so shine before men that they might glorify you, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When the darkness is great, the light shines even brighter. When women are doing all types of craziness, when you have godly women that are being faithful to Christ and loving Christ and therefore loving and serving and caring for their husband, it's a beautiful thing to behold. And maybe even someone might say, what makes you so different? What is the hope that's in you? And you're able to say, the difference for me is I would be just like you if it wasn't for Jesus. I would be living probably the exact same way. But Jesus, who came in the world to save me from my sin, who rescued me even though I was on my way to hell, he brought me out of darkness into light. He changed my life. And therefore, I do this because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is for other women who are confused, who've been basically just abused by men in the sense of men just take advantage of it. Because feminism actually hurts women because men can just take advantage of women. They don't have to provide for them. They don't have to protect them. They don't have to marry them. They get all the benefits. They don't even have to provide or protect them or care for them or say I do to them. And they can do all this. It actually hurts women. And actually, by God's grace, I pray that women will wake up that this isn't good for us. We're the one who are getting the bad side of this. And they will realize there must be a better way. And may the church stand up and say, yes, there is. Let me tell you, in Jesus, you can be set free and you can find the reason for why you exist as a woman. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. What a blessed thing that the church can tell women that you don't have to be a man to truly be a blessing. You can be just the way God created you as a woman, and that's a blessing. That's a good thing. You don't have to be ashamed of your femininity. You don't have to be ashamed of being a woman. You can be thankful. You don't have to be just like a man to be actually successful in the world. You can be a woman, and God is pleased with it if you're in Christ. That is freeing. Because I think even ungodly women have some natural bent to what is more feminine desires. Being a mother, caring for children, being a nurturer, doing these things. But they need someone to say, especially a Titus 2 woman, an older woman, teaching a younger woman to love her husband, love her children, but also from pastors. These are good desires. It's good that you want to do these things. And you don't have to feel ashamed that you want to do these things because God made you this way with these desires. And they're good when they're used for God's glory. They're good. They're good. I love this quote by Martin Luther. He says, quote, "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave," end quote. That's wonderful. I love that quote. Let a wife make it where her husband, when he's glad for her, for him, or the wife makes the husband glad to come home, and he makes her sorry that he has to leave. If you have a marriage like that, that's a blessed marriage. When that man, he's driving home and he can't wait to get home because he knows he has a good woman at home. And because he is so kind and tender and compassionate of a leader, the wife is sorry to see her husband leave. That is beautiful. That's how God wants it. That's how God wants it. God wants the haven of a man to be in his own home. Because his wife is peaceable, as we saw in James 3. Because his wife is gentle. Because she's willing to yield. Because she's full of good fruits. And she is a woman who is without partiality and without hypocrisy. So that man is glad to come home, and the wife is sad to see her husband leave. That's what God wants. And just like I was saying for women, the reality of how you can be a light, good marriages are rare in our culture. They're rare. And so if they see in the church, in good churches, healthy, good marriages, that is a blessing. That is a testimony. And it's actually a way to, without words, preach the gospel. And what I mean by that, I know we always must use words to share the gospel. I'm dogmatically committed to that. But God does say that the relationship between a husband and wife is in some way proclaiming the love of Christ for his church. And therefore, why does Satan attack marriages and women? Because he knows that God says marriage is about Christ and the church. And therefore, if I can blaspheme this illustration, I blaspheme Christ. So why does Satan go after marriages? Because he knows that the Word of God says that the relationship between a husband and wife is a great mystery, but speaks concerning Christ and the church. And therefore, we see these things. But when you have a healthy marriage, when you have a healthy marriage of a man who loves his wife and a wife who respects her husband, you see a beautiful picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. And so, what a blessing it is to live. We could say, what a blessing it is to dwell with a woman who is of a gentle and quiet spirit. To put it positively. The text is put negatively, but what a blessing it is to live with a woman of a gentle and quiet spirit. because that woman does her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. And therefore, he can safely trust in her because he will have no lack of gain. What a blessing for that reality. Without Christ, though, if someone's without Christ, they can never truly enjoy the blessedness the way God intended marriage to be. And first, they must first say, I do, so to speak, to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. They must first be united to him as the church's bridegroom so that they might truly experience the blessedness of marriage as God's design. Without Christ, marriage cannot be lived according to how God wants it. But in Christ, it can. And therefore, through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, someone can be set free and redeemed and therefore realize these realities. And so, ladies, it should be your desire more and more to be a blessing to your husband. It would be a good prayer for ladies who are married every single day to pray in your morning prayer time, which I'm hoping you pray in the morning at least at some time. Father, help me today do my husband good and not evil. Help me today to be respectful to him. Help me today to be gentle. Help me today to be peaceable. Help me today to be willing to yield. Help me today be submissive. Because you know all those things are God's will. And if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, the word of God says. What great prayers to pray. Every single day, Father, help me be a blessing to my husband. Help me make it where my husband is glad to come home. Help me do that. That's a wonderful prayer. Praying that God would help you. And men should also be praying for their wives. One thing that I would encourage the men, if you're not doing this, to pray daily with your wives. With your what? A man praying with his wife. You shouldn't just pray for her, but you should pray with her. It's wonderful to pray for your wife. Keep doing that if you're doing that. But there's something about when a couple prays together that is a blessing. Because you're able to hear what that person's in that heart as they're praying to your father. And you're able to hear them and they're able to hear you. I would greatly encourage that. You want to bring a bond between a husband and wife? I think one of the best ways you can do that is by praying together. Because there's a spiritual connection with God and a connection between you and your spouse. And so if you're not doing that consistently, I exhort you in Christ's name to do that. It doesn't have to be long. It could be 30 seconds before you go to bed. But that pattern of praying together unites you, and you're able to pray. You're able to pray as a man that you would be a loving leader to your wife, and the wife is able to pray for herself, that she would be a kind, respectful, and submissive wife. And when you're able to hear that and pray for that together, it is such a blessing. So I can't encourage enough that couples would pray together. It's such a blessing. When me and Liz pray together, I'm so thankful to hear her prayers for me. They are such a blessing. And so I know obviously we're not married, but obviously you don't have to start praying together when you get married. You can, as you're in the courtship engagement phase, to prepare to when we get married. And it's such a blessing for me to pray for her and her to pray for me. And it is such a joy to hear her heart as she prays the living and true God. And that's such a blessing that you can have in your own marriage. And my beloved brothers and sisters, we do what we prioritize. We do what we prioritize. And so if we prioritize our relationship with God and our relationship with our spouse, we'll find time to pray. We will find time to pray. If we can find time to eat or find time to watch this or do that, because we care about those things if we do them. And so, my beloved brethren, let us prioritize that so that so couples might grow together. And for those who are not married, if you're a woman, to not be contentious. And one key way that you can grow in that is by submitting and honoring the God-given authority in your life so that you might be a blessing to the man you marry. So if you're in a courtship or engagement, obviously the woman's not to submit to that man. He's not his husband. He's not her husband yet. But who is she to submit to? Her father. Her father. And so a woman is able to grow in not being contentious by not being contentious with her own father and honoring, respecting, and submitting to him as her father. That's who a woman is to submit to before she gets married. She's under the headship of her father. And therefore, that's how a woman can grow in those things. I would tell a woman if she, as a pattern of her life, has no concern about not submitting to her father and just kind of does whatever she wants and doesn't listen to him, doesn't respect his authority, that's a woman to run away from quick. That's a woman to run away from real quick. because that's God's desire. And for those who are not married, men or boys, run from any woman that is marked by a contentious spirit. Because you're going to, it doesn't matter how beautiful she is, it doesn't matter how good she looks, it's going to be like a woman who might be lovely, but is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. That's also what the Bible says. A lovely woman who doesn't have discretion, who's contentious, is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. You don't want that type of woman. You don't want that type of woman. And so may God help us, because we care about the relationship between Christ and the church, care deeply about our marriages, care deeply about these things, so that we can be a light in a crooked and perverse generation where a world is able to see, wow, that woman truly loves, obeys, and submits to her husband. And that man really loves and leads and is kind to his wife and nourishes and cherishes her. That is a beautiful thing to see. And may God make it true more and more in this church that marriages might be marked by that, so that we might be a light in this dark world. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would apply these things to our heart and to our life. We thank you that your word speaks to men and women, boys and girls, in the truth. And we thank you for the opportunity to hear it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.